Reconnect with CUNY. Whether you are a first-time college student, a parent, a veteran, or an adult with some college credits, there's a place for you to continue your dreams or start fresh. No matter where you are along your journey, the CUNY Reconnect program can provide financial assistance and one-on-one personalized support to get you going. It's not too late to start again. Go to cuny.edu/reconnect today.
It's Ebro in the Morning with Laura Stiles and Rosenberg.
Ebro in the Morning, Laura Stiles, Rosenberg, Sam J. On the program. What's happening?
What's good, man?
Thank you for joining us. We've been trying to book you for a minute.
I'm excited.
We kept striking out. You know that, right?
Wasn't striking out.
Fam, you got popping out here fast.
Yeah.
We was trying to book you. They was like,
just scheduling issues. That's
scheduling issues. Yeah, but it was during the HBO show, which I really enjoyed.
Yeah.
I thought you managed to do something that I have tried to do before that is very hard, and that is to try a late night format that's actually different. You know, I thought you guys really did a nice job. For
Thank
anyone
you.
Who didn't see Sam's show, it was basically like the backdrop was a party of people actually kind of organically hanging out, mixed in with her moving around the world, talking to people a la... I hope
this is the HBO one.
Yeah.
I did see it. Pause?
Yeah.
Pause Sam J. Yeah. A la Ali G, or, you know, you kind of moving around the world.
Yeah,
is that a fair way to describe it?
Close.
You weren't being a fake, but you weren't being a fake person.
Yeah. I wasn't trying to, like, prank people and
right,
stuff.
Right.
But, yeah, that, like, being active in the world, like, taking the conversation from the party and bringing it to the world, that's the accurate
The piece. One that really I remember that like was really interesting, that at least for me, that had never been on my radar before, was the topless chicks, the people who live their life fully tits out. Essentially, that's their life.
What? Where is that,
Sam,
in Europe?
Can you help explain?
What country is this in? I want to go.
It's
here in the United States.
Really?
It was about studs who like be wearing their titties out. Essentially.
Okay.
When do they do this?
Just like whenever playing basketball, going to the store.
But she's studs.
No, I understand, but still, their boobs are out. But
they're still boobs, yeah. But the whole episode wasn't about... But what it was about was like self-expression and how we put ourselves in boxes. And like, I was saying that I always wanted to like have my titties out. Like, that would be dope to just have a do-rag on, riding in a car, listening to Wayne. Titties out, like rolling, but I'm too like shy to do that, and like I think about too many of the other consequences. So I talk to some studs who actually do present like that and live like that.
You never actually tried it?
I do at the end of the episode.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Well, you know, I feel too close to you now. To bring that.
you don't want to say you actually saw our topless in a car driving around.
It's cool.
How hard was that hard though?
How nerve wracking? Yes,
it actually wasn't that bad once it was happening. It was like all the nerve wracking was leading up to it happening, but once it was happening, I was like, "This kind of dope."
So have you done it since?
Nah.
Wasn't that dope?
Nah, but I will say, like, I'm less worried about my titties. I'm like, you know, like, if I'm doing something and someone videos me, I'm like, yo, what up? And if I don't have a shirt on, I'm not like all my titties, but I used to be like, I gotta do stuff first.
Right.
I don't care.
Right. It's a lot of titties
we're
out
there. We're on TV now. Yeah.
Well, and there's a lot of titties out. Like, if you really think about it, there's a lot of titties out here.
What do you mean?
And so you shouldn't be ashamed of
in
titties.
The world.
In the world, there's titties everywhere.
Exactly.
Like, everybody got, you know, not everybody got them. Well, not maybe.
Everybody has them, just different sizes. That's it.
Everybody does. And it's like, they get to go, like, with their titties out.
That's
like,
right.
Even if they got, like, a little titty to it, like Rick Ross, you know what I'm saying? And it's like, why can't women just be, like, as free with their shit, you know what I'm saying?
If it makes you feel any better, I don't know if this makes me a great ally, I am also scared to take my shirt off, so I relate
and
more.
And it's because of your titties.
Correct. Well, not even. It's just, I don't feel that way necessarily, but I do feel just embarrassed by it. Like, I'm not.
It goes both ways.
Yeah, I'm not one of those dudes who's just, like, loose walking around shirtless whenever I can.
And now Laura Stiles.
Yes.
Titties. Would you be okay with your shirt off just driving with your titties out?
I don't know, because I've been to European countries where it's like, oh, you want to hit the nudie beach? I'm like, maybe I'll pass on that one.
It was kind of fly, bro. You should try it.
I'm sure it's liberating.
It was.
Right? I just have to get there.
Well, listen, keep the show, keep the listeners posted. I'm sure they want to know.
I mean... Rating.
Yeah, people would like to know.
Well, that's, I think, the problem with the whole titty conversation is what we as men do to the titties. We make it a thing.
Well, yeah,
right. It's our fault.
Right. It was like...
It really is.
It's our fault.
We come by it honestly. I mean, who we are.
What was eye-opening to me was all the stuff I had to do to be able to take my titties out. Like, legally, like, we had to go through this whole thing. They was like, you can't be titties out on this street or this street.
Oh.
We had to, like, be on a certain block. The police had to, like,
block stuff up.
And it was like, dang, all this just for some titties to come out.
So, no, even more interesting, it just struck me, too, when I said, you know, it's our fault as men. I think about all the women who was mad at Janet Jackson with the whole Super Bowl incident.
Yeah.
Right? And the fact that it was like moms with kids at home and the sexualization of the human body, which is like, just because a titty come out don't mean it got to be sex.
Right.
But that's a very American thing.
It is a very American thing.
Because at the same time, women are shamed for whipping out their titties and feeding their children.
True. Right.
Like, it's offensive if you're breastfeeding your baby when it's natural, it's life.
Like, going off over that, like, we need to do something about you, not the titty.
That's right. It's not the titty's fault. And I think that's the movement, actually. It's not the titty's fault.
It's not the titty's fault.
It's you.
I was angry.
It's not the titty.
I was also upset about the Janet Jackson thing.
Why?
Because that was just never how I envisioned seeing Janet's titties for the
with
first time.
With armor on it? With
with a shield?
Like, I fantasized.
It had a shield on it.
Yo, I'd fantasized for years since I was 12 years old. And then there was like a weird armor shield and Justin Timberlake was there. And I'm in a room with strangers.
Like, you blame Justin. You were like, yo, you fucked up Janet's titties.
Yo, what's going on?
It wasn't the presentation you wanted.
You understand. It wasn't what I was waiting for. So, Sam, now you're a big-time Hollywood actor, too. You went from host. So now you're in a big time Hollywood movie tomorrow.
Yeah, pretty tight.
You People's out.
It's out already.
In selected theaters. It's gonna be out on Netflix tomorrow.
Yeah. So this weekend you can watch it at home.
All right. We just had Kenya Barris on. We talked to him extensively about the show and racial dynamics in the movie, et cetera, et cetera. What role do you play in the movie?
I play Mo, who's Ezra's best friend.
Okay.
Jonah Hill's character.
Mm-hmm. Got it.
So he got
black friends.
He got a black friend.
A black friend.
Which happens to be the BFF.
Got it.
Yeah, and business partner.
Mm-hmm.
That's a pretty big role. How was that experience? How was Jonah? How was the whole thing?
Jonah was mad cool. I was surprised, not because I thought he was going to be not cool, but he was so cool. You know what I mean? I was like, he's going to come and do his job and then probably go to his trailer and that's that. But we would hang out a lot in between takes, and we would hang out a lot during setups. And
y'all smoking weed?
Nah, Jonah doesn't smoke weed.
He don't smoke weed. Definitely looks like a weed smoker.
I don't know why people keep thinking that. No.
Definitely.
Jonah doesn't smoke weed. Wow. Jonah's sober. He just be chilling.
I love that.
But we would just chat a lot, man, and we would just have a lot of conversations about real life stuff. Like, I talked to him about, like, getting into fame and, like, things that have been changing in my life and just, like, regular stuff. And it made it really easy to have, like, a friendly rapport on camera because we were really talking about things off camera.
Right.
He's a big hip-hop head, too, right?
Yeah.
Are you, how big a hip-hop head are you?
It's
all right. Keep it real. You'd be like, hip-hop's all right. You
know what I mean? Nah, it's not all right. I'm a pretty big hip-hop head.
What kind of question is that, Rosenberg? I don't understand what that question means.
I took for granted.
In 2023, what does that even mean? What kind of hip hop?
I casually listen to music, or like Jonah, I know, is like a rap nerd to some degree. Like, he finds ways to reference Wu-Tang. You know what I mean?
Okay,
that's all I mean.
Got
is
it.
That like he's into it? I know.
Right.
I didn't know if you go deep like that or.
It depends on the. You know what I'm saying?
What do you listen to these days?
What am I listening to now? I'm listening to the new Nas.
That's why the question was weird.
Sorry,
bro.
I don't think it was that weird.
What kind of hip hop head are you?
That Joey Badass 2000 is fire.
Look at this.
That's why I asked though.
Look at this.
There are a lot of people who go, I like hip hop, but they don't listen to the new Joey Badass album.
It's hard. It's fire.
Yeah, he did his thing.
It's really good.
It's really good.
So, sorry,
Laura. Go ahead.
It's okay. No, so I remember when we were talking to Kenya, he did mention that nobody auditioned for any of the roles. Everyone was already picked. So you just got the call from Kenya, and tell me, were you excited for that specific role, or were you moved around, or how did it work?
Nah, he called me for that role,
okay.
And he was like, hey, I got this movie, and I think you could do the role. Like, if you're interested, I'll send you over some pages, like, whatever. Do you want to do it? And I was like, yeah. But I didn't know anything past he has a movie or whatever. So he sent me the pages, but he didn't, like, send it with, like, who, just the characters or whatever. So I was reading it, and I was like, oh, man, this character is, like, really close to who I am as a person in a lot of ways. And I was like, yeah, man, I feel like I could do it. And he was like, yo, Kosa, if you want to do it, we could do it. And I was like, all right, man, but if I have to audition, I don't know, because I'm really bad at auditioning, because I am. And he was like, nah, I'm not asking you to audition unless you want to do it. And I was like, yeah, I want to do it. And then he was
Did
like,
Did you
all
know right. Kenya at the time?
I didn't really know Ken okay. like that. Like, we had talked on Instagram and stuff. He told me, like, he liked the special, and he liked 3 in the morning. And then I was like, all right, man. And then he was like, all right, cool. It's you, Jonah Hill, Eddie Murphy. He just started naming all these names. And I was like, oh,
yo,
shit.
He was like, hold up.
Yeah. I was like, wait a minute. What? So then I was nervous. And I was like, oh, no, this is, like, an actual thing that's happening. And then a part of me didn't believe it. I was like, there's no way I'm just going to get this movie without having an audition or anything after he told me the names. And then my manager called, like, hey, we got an offer for this movie. And I was like, all right, cool. Wow.
Did you get time with Eddie?
I got a scene with Eddie in the movie.
Wow.
What was that? For? I mean, as a comedy, a comedian and a writer, yeah. Like.
I mean, wow.
Crazy, because one is, like, the whole movie, I'm, like, acting like I don't like Eddie's character because he's ruining our good time. You know what I'm saying? Right, so it's like the one scene I have with him is the scene where I'm like, oh, I want this guy to get away from me. And it's like inside, I'm like, please stay. You know what I mean? Like, it's Eddie Murphy.
Right.
So it was cool. I got my one little joke off. You know what I'm saying? I was happy about that.
You got
that.
To ad-lib it?
I got to ad-lib it. Eddie liked it. It got to stay.
You made Eddie Murphy laugh.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
It got to stay, so I was like, we good. That's the
What's his demeanor like when working with him?
Reconnect with CUNY. Whether you are a first-time college student, a parent, a veteran, or an adult with some college credits, there's a place for you to continue your dreams or start fresh. No matter where you are along your journey, the CUNY Reconnect program can provide financial assistance and one-on-one personalized support to get you going. It's not too late to start again. Go to cuny.edu/reconnect today.
It's not like he's serious. I mean, he's just Eddie. He knows what he is. He knows who he is. He knows that he walks in and the room changes. Like, he's aware of himself. So it's just like, that's what the aura is like. It's like
it's
a nigga who know he's that dude. Yeah.
But a nice guy.
Yeah,
and a nice...
that's what I'm saying. It's not mean or it's standoffish. It's just like very aware of what his presence does to people.
Right. You are a writer also.
Yes.
And now, was it stand up first? Write, like... You know, because the writing, like, when I meet someone, they're like, I'm a writer for SNL.
Yeah.
How did that even happen?
That was my first writing job. My life is weird like that. That was my first writing job. That was the first time I ever, like, wrote for a show or anything that wasn't myself.
SNL.
Yeah. But how do you land something like that? That's my first time.
I did a comedy festival called Just for Laughs in Montreal, which is
big
like
one.
The big one. It's like the one you want to
so
get
So you was
into.
Already doing stand-up.
I was already doing stand-up, and they saw me at Just for Laughs, and there was some SNL scouts there, and they was like, yo, we want you to come audition, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, all right. And
did you tell them I don't do good at auditions, just like you told Kay?
Well, this was like, just go do stand-up
got it.
So I wasn't worried about that. But I was kind of like SNL because it was never on my radar of things to do. Like, I just didn't think I fit in that world. You know what I mean? Like, not that I didn't like the show or respect the show, but the type of comic I was at the time and stuff, I was just like, me and the show don't match. So I was like, all right, cool. I'll audition because I don't, you know, I made a choice in my career to just not say no to stuff.
Good. That's a good
that
choice.
That things that, you right. know. Just because I'm not used to it, or I don't think this, like, if it comes to me, I'm gonna be open to it, just type of vibe. So I was like, cool. I auditioned, and they was in LA, and they was like, all right, we're gonna fly you to New York to audition for Lorne and everything at 8H. Then I went, I did that, and everyone was like, oh, good job. I was like, oh, I feel good about it. Then they called me, and they was like, hey, so we want you to write for the show. So I was like, damn, I'm ugly. They don't wanna put me on TV. Cool. But I was also like, whatever, it's all good. Like, I never wrote for a show before, and that's probably mad stuff to learn there. And then right. It was also like, I get to live in New York and like make money. And as a comic, you kind of want to get to New York and do stand up in New York. And it was like, oh, so now I get to do stand up in New York and not be poor. Dope. And then I just came to New York and started writing for the show.
How long did you do it?
3 seasons.
Which seasons were they? Like, how many years ago?
Like, 3 years ago, I love.
Okay, 3 years ago. That's pretty amazing. I mean, the cast has been pretty amazing that whole time.
Yeah, so it was like 80 Bryant, Kate was there, Cecily was there, Kyle was there, Beck was there, Alex Moffitt was there. Ego came the next year. Me and Heidi came together. Mm. Me and Chris came together. And, of course, Keenan was there.
Of course, Keenan's always
yeah,
there.
Yeah, and, yeah, it was fun.
How did those connections help you today, right? Because those are big connections that you was able to make.
The connections are the connections, and I think, like, that shit just grows organically. You know, like, someone's making something, they think about you or whatever. I feel like what helped me the most was, like, the education. It's everything I learned being on that show and working at that show every week and putting on a live show every week. I don't think I would have been able to make pause without being on that show and had the confidence to make pause and go, like, we could do it like this. You know, that's just from making television. I have an idea of, like, what you can fuck with and what you can change and alter about it. So, you know, for me, it was just what I learned. I can't, it's like going to Harvard for comedy. It's like you just leave with such a vast knowledge of making TV and making comedic television.
And all your classmates are friggin' brilliant also.
So
everyone around you, that's amazing.
So as you sit here today, you're in this movie. Is this your first movie?
Mm-hmm.
First movie.
As I said, my life is weird.
Well, and then you got two TV shows, right? And you've already done a comedy special.
Yeah.
And you've written at SNL.
Yeah.
So these are very kind of different disciplines, right? Each one. So as you look at your, like you said, my career is, did you say
weird.
He's weird? Like, how do you, like, what's the priority? Is it getting on that stage and being able to do stand-up and everything else kind of falls after that? Are you trying to write more TV?
I'm trying to do everything a little bit of a way, you know what I mean? Like, I think when I was younger and I came into this business, I was very like, all I do is stand up and I'm a stand up, and I would take like generals and they'd be like, do you want to write a show? And I'd be like, no, you know, like I am a stand up, you know what I'm saying? And I think a lot of times, especially you come from like the hood or whatever, you be really focused on like, you got to be one thing. It's like this whole, like, it's like that basketball kid mentality. Like, all I got is this ball and that's what's going to change my life. And you're kind of super focused on like, this one thing is going to get me out of here. And once you really start doing stuff, like, the scope of what's possible just keeps getting wider and wider and wider. So now I look at my career more as this, like, big overarching thing where all these things are possible. And it's like, I just want to keep creating. That's it. I just want to be in situations where I get to be creative.
And I'm sure in some regard, be yourself. Be the purest form and the truest form of yourself.
Yes, 100%.
Right? When you go back to... Because I'm always amazed by comedians, right? Because we interview a lot of them. When they come in, like, there's a certain almost apprehension to sitting in this room with us. And I'm like, but you get on stage in front of motherfuckers and they might boo you. Like, comedians are the bravest, some of the bravest performers I think there is, right? Like,
yeah, or not even boo, maybe just stare in silence.
Yeah.
Right, even worse, right? They don't feel no type of way. So how did you, how did stand-up find you, or you decide to do stand-up?
I always kind of wanted to do it. Like, it was always something just hanging around in the back of my head. Like, that would be cool. If you could do that, that would be cool, but I think earlier in my life, I just didn't have, like, the confidence, really. And I also didn't have, like, the knowledge of self at all. Like, I was just young, and I was still dating dudes. You know what I mean? Like, I was just figuring out me in a million ways. So I kind of, like, tried it, and I was like, I just don't feel right. I don't know how to explain it. It just didn't feel correct to me. I was like, eh. The connection I thought I was going to feel or whatever was supposed to come from this, I'm not getting that. So I went off and did a bunch of the crab and worked a bunch of stupid jobs and stuff. And I was turning like 29 and I was just kind of like, damn, bro, like your life's kind of at a dead end. Nothing that you see in front of you is like anything you want to be doing. Like,
where were you?
I was in Atlanta. And my family was trying to get me to come back to Boston. I had gotten a little sick, and they were like, yo, you need to come home and just heal and get better. And my aunt was trying to get me to work for the MBTA, and, like, she kept, because she been working there forever, and she was like, they're about to start hiring bus drivers again. I'm like, I'm not trying to be no fucking bus driver. Like,
and they pay good, great retirement plan.
I was like, I know, but it was just like,
a lot of wear and tear on your life, but.
Yeah, you know, I was like, is this the thing? Is this going to be the thing? I just didn't have passion for it, and, like, I mean, I'm not to say I've seen people drive the bus for years and be happy as hell. Right. You know what I'm saying? It's just what works for you. But I knew I didn't have a passion for it or anything. And I was like, I don't want to, like, just live a passionless life. Like, I don't want to just be going to work, to go to work, to live. And, like, I just didn't want to be doing that. And I just was like, yo, man, you got to do something. And I was at my cousin's house, and I was just making a bunch of people laugh, and I didn't know them. And I was like, yo, this is when you're, like, the happiest. It's when you're just talking shit, making people laugh, challenging ideas. And I was like, man, you just need to try it. And I just told myself, put my head down for a year and do it. And I was like, if you're further along than you were when you started, then put your head down for another year. Like, what do you really have to lose? You wasted years doing less.
Trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah. I've wasted years doing way less.
So where were you after 1 year?
I was able to, like, get up in Boston, and, like, I could go to rooms and people would be like, Sam's here. You know what I mean? And I was like,
That's great.
Like,
that's
I was like, oh, that's fire.
You know, I'll do another year. I'll try another year.
Yeah, you know?
That's dope.
Good that's an you, amazing man. Story. Wow, from Thank 29, and just that time, all this has happened.
Yeah. That's the real whatever testimony or whatever is, like, you really could just make a decision and change your life. You know, listen,
God finds a way of keeping us humble, and that's why you were stuck outside with Peter Rosenberg last night.
I was like,
regular person.
In the rain.
Y'all were standing in the rain, bro.
It was bad out there. So cool, though. We're so happy for you.
Thank you.
And thank you for coming by the program, too.
Man, thank you for having me.
You have an invite. Please. Whenever you want to come through to promote something, you let us
Yo,
know.
Yo, and you know what we do for a living?
What?
Sit around and talk shit.
And challenge ideas.
That's the fun part. That's the whole shit. Fun thing?
So, yeah, even if you don't want to come in and do an interview, you just want to sit around and challenge ideas and talk? Yes.
What's your favorite thing to argue about right now?
Ooh, I mean, race is always fun. I mean,
that's what we do
professionally.
Race is a good time always. I don't know.
Literally, he only has a job here because he's Jewish and white.
Right.
That's literally.
Just to create conflict.
Just so I could go at white people and somebody's here to represent for them.
Fun. Wow, so you just openly call me a token.
That's right.
Like, you don't really get that every day. It's not often people say it. They just think it.
Sam J.
I don't think you're a token, bro.
Thanks, Sam.
You're welcome, bro.
I appreciate you.
He is.
Congratulations,
Yo, give it up, Sam J. Go check you people on Netflix. Come back anytime.
Thank you, bro. All right, Sam.
I want to do commercial.
Do a commercial for the podcast.
Like, he wants us to do this commercial for the podcast.
Like what? Like I say, like, my name is Barack.
Yeah, my name is Danny.
And when does the show come out?
Every Wednesday.
What kind of podcast is it? What company?
I don't know. He's f***ing around.
Current events, comedy.
No, it's a Hot
97 podcast.
Yes.
Hot 97. Blazing hip hop and R&B. Podcast too.
And that's the commercial.
One listen and you'll be glad to know we don't ever plan to stop. Bad Business with Barack and Daniel.
Reconnect with CUNY. Whether you are a first-time college student, a parent, a veteran, or an adult with some college credits, there's a place for you to continue your dreams or start fresh. No matter where you are along your journey, the CUNY Reconnect program can provide financial assistance and one-on-one personalized support to get you going. It's not too late to start again. Go to cuny.edu/reconnect today.